Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. What's in a name? Well, plenty, according to New York University historian Jonathan Zimmerman, especially if a private interest affixes its name to a public space. He joins me in discussion on this episode of That's History. Hi, John.
Hi, Dave. It's good to be here.
Well, I understand you're among the cohort who do their best thinking on the train, in your case, from the Burbs to Market East Station in Philly.
Indeed, except I'm not going to go there anymore. I'll go to the station, but I won't go to Market East Station because, as you know, and as everyone here at HYY knows, it's been renamed after Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. It's not Market East anymore.
Do you have a problem with that?
You know, I do. The station is a public space, and it seems to me that when we sell our public spaces to private interests, we teach ourselves and our children that we don't really have shared spaces, that we don't have a community that can, on its own right, on its own tax dollars, create a shared space.
Though it's the public in part who derives the benefit from this $4 million gift over 5 years.
And that's absolutely true, and I should be clear here. I understand how strapped SEPTA is, and I don't begrudge the leaders of SEPTA for making this deal. They've made earlier deals also. Remember AT&T station down near the ballparks, right? So this does have a precedent. So they're not the only ones. This has happened all over America in all kinds of different contexts. But I think it's important for us to think about it historically because it's really a very recent vintage. It's really only over the past 20 or 30 years that we've been selling the names of our public spaces to private bidders.
So this is obviously a new breach. It's certainly not new to have advertisements along the nation's early highways and byways.
Without a doubt, if you read, say, Walter Lippmann, who was the premier journalist of the early 20th century, you hear him describing the gaudiest and sleaziest advertisements papering every available space, including barns. One of the things that tobacco companies did is when somebody's barn was falling down, if it was near a road or a highway, they would say to the barn owner, look, we're going to repaint your barn and reconstruct it so long as we're allowed to put a big ad for a cigarette or a tobacco pouch on it. So it's not that we've invented advertising in public spaces. I think what's different is instead of just bargaining with a barn or a private owner near a road, we're now selling the road itself. So in the case of the state of Virginia a couple of years ago, what they did was announce that actually, if you had enough money, you could rename a whole highway. They basically have started to auction off the names of their public roads and also of their rest stops, ads on things like fire hydrants and occasionally on police cars.
I think there are some 10 remaining baseball stadiums and 6 NFL stadiums that do not have corporate names affixed.
Very few. And I think it's important to think about that, too, because those, too, are public spaces. It's true that they're privately owned, but often the taxpayer has subsidized them to the tune of millions of dollars. And most importantly, in the past, they were common spaces. They were places where citizens came together to celebrate the content and the contours of their common lives. They were enterprises that all of us invested in, that we treated equally and treated us equally. And once you introduce a private bidder and a private sponsor, I think that you completely alter that calculus.
But again, sometimes for the better, when Mark Zuckerberg gave $100 million to the Newark, New Jersey school system, it was those students who largely benefited from it.
Absolutely. And again, if you take a system like Newark, just to be clear, in no way do I begrudge the leaders of that system from accepting this donation. I just think we have to understand how new the trend is and what it says about us as a polity, as a society, which is we don't believe in our communities enough. We don't believe really in our society enough to collectively tax ourselves and organize ourselves in ways that benefit all of us. Instead, what we have to do is go hat in hand to a corporation or a bidder to pay for things that we formerly paid for ourselves.
I wonder if it would be different if that name on that public building was, say, Pew Charitable Trust or United Way. Would that soften the blow?
In my view, frankly, no. Remember, Thomas Jefferson University Hospital is not a profit-making enterprise. And I should be clear also, I've got nothing against Jeff. I think Jefferson is a terrific institution. So I'm not knocking Jeff either. I'm knocking us as citizens for allowing this new arrangement, for forgetting how new it is. And I think we should all remind ourselves about its novelty and what that novelty says about our common or our political lives.
Do you foresee this trend reversing?
No way. It's going in the opposite direction. Even into state parks where you have trail markers. Yes, trail markers that bear an advertisement for a company that paid for them. So here you have, again, a state enterprise, and historically bucolic one, a one where a place where people went to reflect, to get away from the kind of hustle and bustle, and I would say commercialism of modern life. And there on a trail marker, you've got an ad for a corporation.
Presumably these corporations are doing it to get more ears and eyeballs focusing on their message. But when the clutter becomes cacophony, perhaps it will all be tuned out.
Well, look, I doubt that. I think that advertising is a very sophisticated science, and people would not invest in these advertisements unless they had a certain amount of certainty that it worked. But I do think it's interesting that the only time you hear public objection to this process is when the citizens don't like the particular product that's being advertised. When what I still call Shea Stadium, the Met Stadium, was changed to Citi Field, that was right around the time that we had this enormous bank bailout. And Citi Field received billions of dollars from the taxpayer and laid off 100,000 people. You heard people objecting to naming the place after Citi Field. But you don't hear much discussion or complaint about the process or indeed the novelty of the fact that we're now selling off our public spaces. You only hear complaints when somebody doesn't like the particular donor.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. It was fun.
New York University historian Jonathan Zimmerman joining us once again on That's History on WHYY.